spoke about the difference between stablish and establish. Stablish means to empower, to strengthen, to have power, and so, and then establish is when you begin something, you start it, you initiate it. For example, it was in 1948 that the nation of Israel was established. That's when it was started. That's when it began. You've seen on businesses many times established, and then they'll have a date. And so that's how establish is. Establish means to strengthen. Well, Brother Dan Pascarella, last Thursday, he sent me an email, and he said he was reading. He wasn't searching for it. He was just reading his scriptures for the day, and he came across Psalm 93. Look at verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. The world is strengthened, that it cannot be moved. Verse 2, thy throne is established of old. It began, okay? It was initiated. Amen. Of old. And he clarifies it, thou art from everlasting. So he found it interesting. He was just doing his reading, and there it was. And I like the fact that both words are used there in those two verses, and they each are easy to see, where establish means to give power, to have power, and establish to begin. And so there you go. That's just a little extra.
I like
that. Yeah, I did too. And okay, Romans chapter 12. Now, I'm going to do something that it's hard to do. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 2. And you say, what's hard about that? You always read 1 and 2 together. Okay? It's like salt and pepper. When you talk about Romans 12, 1 and 2, they go together all the time. Oh, well, anyway, look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This week I read about a salesman who was talking to one of his customers about her boss. And the customer said of her boss, Dave does not speak evil of anyone. He is a true Christian. He lives it. How many true Christians do you know? Those who really live it. And that would be said of them by someone else. The sad truth is that many who claim to be born again and may even go to church regularly, few consistently live for the Lord Jesus. The Bible warns about being conformed to this world, not only in verse 2, but in various places, not always using those words conform to the world, but the teaching is many places in the scripture. The devil exerts pressure on us to conform, to go through the motions of Christian living. Churches all around our nation are filled with conformers, There are very few Daves, but that is what God calls us to be. He's a true Christian. He lives it. I remember an evangelist who's now in heaven. He talked about churches that have a sign out front, a Bible-believing church. And he said, you know, the way things are anymore, what we need to start putting on the signs is a Bible-believing church. Okay? In other words, it's a Bible-living church. Not only a Bible-believing church, but a Bible-living church.
Uh-oh.
And that's what Dave exemplified. So much so that one of his workers, that was her estimation of him. God wants us to be transformed, changed, okay, by the renewing of our mind. That's a good thing to pray for. God, change my mind. Change my way of thinking. Change how I view things. I want to share tonight just a few, but some of the signs of a transformed versus a conformed Christian that is conformed to the world. Now, certainly, there's things in the Christian life it's good to be conformed to. But this verse talks about not being conformed to the world, okay? And the first thing is the transformed person fears God. The conformed person fears man. Transformed are concerned about what God thinks.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? Years ago, you know, all kinds of jewelry and everything, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Now, I know it just became a saying, and I know we, and I heard many a powerful message lamenting that it was just jewelry anymore. But the fact is, what would Jesus do in a lot of things? And we need to be transformed that we'll think like Jesus. What did he say? Let this mind be in you. And a conformed person, well, they're concerned with what man's opinion is. A conformed person, they want the approval of other people. Now, I don't think we should aim to displease other people, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I know that's been broadened beyond the kingdom aspect to seek what God wants. I don't live to displease people, but neither do I live to displease God. Do we live to please the crowd, or do we live to please Christ? Don't answer too quickly. Okay? Because there's times where what we need to do is pray. And we're going to see that in the very next one. The second thing is the transformed are like soft clay in the potter's hand. It always fascinates me to when I watch that on TV, they would take a clump of pliable soft clay, wet, and the potter would put it on the wheel, whether it was electric powered or by the potter's, you know, foot on a treadle. And then that clump, it was just a clump. And you watched, and after a while it began to take shape. But it just shape as compared to a clump. But then as it took shape, it began to be put into a specific shape. And sometimes it had a long neck. Sometimes it was more squat and a short neck, but a broad opening on the top. Listen, God wants to transform us like a lump of clay. And when he starts doing it, we're not going to look a whole lot different than any other clump of clay. But as he works in us, as he takes and as we spin through life, okay? See the illustration, how I followed it? And what he does is begin to shape us.
Yeah.
There's all different kinds of shapes, aren't there?
Sure.
I'm not talking physically now.
Yeah.
I'm speaking of the inner man, of the believer, of the days of the world. Okay? The conformed, they're not a soft lump of clay that can be molded. The conformed Christian is hard, stubborn, and rebellious. I'm going to do it my way. There are some people that just seems to be a condition that plagues them. And on my prayer list, in my general section, okay? Now, the reason I'm looking at Sister Ruth Ann is because we've been communicating regarding prayer lists and the like. And I have one section that's general. That's where just everything goes. Health things go under the health tab, okay? People that are alone go under the alone tab. They may be alone because they're a widow or a widower. They may be alone simply because they haven't married. They're a single person, okay? Whatever the situation. And so there's different tabs. I have 10 of them that have different categories. But in the general section, I have an individual that I pray for because that individual struggles with this matter of being hard or stubborn. And so I pray for that individual for that. Now, do you notice I didn't say he or she? That's on purpose. Because if I say he or she, then you're going to immediately run to people that you know. Oh, he must mean so-and-so. Oh, he must mean her. Oh, no. I just want to tell you, there's somebody like that. That's a condition that people that are conformed to this world are plagued by. And believe me, it is a plague. The transformed person says along with the psalmist, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." That's what the transformed person wants. They welcome the examination of God. They want God to show them wherein they are wrong and wherein they need to change. The conformed person, they don't want to be searched. The conformed person says, "Leave me alone." And it's their will and their way. That's how they live. The conformed person. I'm trying to think of that song. We sang it this past Sunday, I believe. I can't think of it. I'll have to just let it alone because I can't think of it. Don't want to waste time trying to. All right. The third way in which we look at the comparison of the transformed person and the conformed person. The transformed person likes to shine for Jesus. Okay, the conformed person, they like to whine. Got it? That's why I emphasize shine. Okay, but that's the way it is. The transformed Christian wants people to see Jesus in their actions, in their attitudes. They want to be, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven." That's what the transformed Christian wants. That's an important thing. That's something for which they pray. God, help my neighbors to see Jesus in me. God, my neighbors see me go to church regularly. My neighbors know that I'm a Christian. But I pray, God, help my neighbors to see Jesus in me. Because not only do I go to church every Sunday and Wednesday, and now they know that I go Thursday for Bible study, not only do they know that, but you know what? The Catholic neighbor across the street, they go to Mass even more than that. So you see, church going is good and it can be a testimony, but it's Jesus that saves, not a church.
Right. Yeah.
And so the transformed want people to see Jesus in us. And hence we walk with Jesus to please him, and we want others to see Christ in us. Conformers, they're filled with self. And they want others to see how good they are, how great they are, how smart they are, how winsome and talented they are. And they talk about themselves because that's what's important to them, themselves. They're filled with themselves. They're selfish. Folks, Jesus is what's important. Then lastly, the transformed tell others about Christ and his word. You don't have to term that's been used already, buttonhole people. You don't have to, whether it's a coworker, a clerk at a store, or a neighbor, or a person within your greater family, do you know the Romans Road? Do you know John's journey? Okay. Do you have a half a dozen scriptures of various books of the Bible that you can give them? A plan of salvation is what we summarize it as. And it's good to have a plan of salvation, okay? To be able to briefly describe that when that fits the situation. But you know what? We can tell others about Christ without having to take them through a plan of salvation. Sometimes it's just a brief word.
That's right.
Okay. It's a beautiful day today, isn't it, Bill? Yeah, it sure is. Boy, God gave us a wonderful creation.
Yes, sir.
You see, that doesn't seem like much to us.
Right.
But let me tell you, to somebody who doesn't talk about God much, that's my bill, okay? that's quite a bit. Quite a bit now. But when we do that, now we're establishing ourselves as a Christian. And therefore, we've got to be careful that when we interact with Bill, we're letting Jesus shine. So that Bill can see, and it can be like the worker said of her boss, he's a real Christian. He lives it. But you see, you don't have to give a half dozen Bible verses to leave a witness with someone. It can be a very simple thing. Might be a sentence long. It might just be three words long. But it's something that you drop in the ear of the person that you're with. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Hey, I know where you can find out. You just get your walk with Jesus the way you know it ought to be. And then the Holy Spirit, he'll give it to you. When he knows you're willing to do it, he'll give you. Say, well, he never gives it to me. Have you ever asked him for something and then he gave it and you didn't bother doing it? How often does that happen between you and another person, and then you just stop telling the other person?
Uh-oh.
Sure. Why? They're not going to do it. God might just be that way too. Well, I've asked him several times. And yeah, and if there's several times that he answered and you didn't take advantage of his answer, that might be why it's not happening now. But let's go back to the beginning, okay? You want to know what to say? Just ask God, and he'll give you something to say. Now, you know what you're going to face? You're going to join a debating team. Because you're going to be in a situation, you could speak two or three words for Christ, like, let's stay with my illustration. Boy, isn't the weather beautiful today? Yes, God sure made a wonderful world for us to live in. Should I say it or shouldn't I? What will he think if I say it? You know, by then, he may have gotten in his car and gone. And so, when God gives it to us, and I say us, you know, I know how to illustrate this stuff because I live. I live just like everybody else lives. Just because we're preachers doesn't mean it comes automatic and easy. I face the same struggles that you face when it comes to this sort of thing. Boy, I'll tell you, the victory is sweet. when you do it, and boy, so satisfying.
Yes, sir, it is.
So satisfying. You know where I learned that just two or three word dropping it in the ear of a person? I learned that, like so many things, from my wife. She'd come home from shopping and I'd say, how'd it go today? Oh, she said, pretty good. I saw so-and-so, and depending on who so-and-so was, I knew she was tied up for a half an hour. And they would just talk. And so, but anyway, and then, after she relayed her shopping, then she'd say, you know, and the clerk, and then she'd tell me what the clerk said and what her reply was. It was just two or three words. Now, you know, we're going back years. I don't know how many, 30 years ago. And I, the first time she told me, I thought to myself, well, that isn't much. Okay? Because I was a big, I used the Romans Road. And I was very capable at buttonholing people. You know, that's a negative thing. All right? But that was where I was at. That was my level of involvement if I was going to be a witness. So she tells me, I said, yeah, God made a beautiful creation. And she told me I witnessed today. So, you know, first time she said that, I was waiting to hear a witness. And God made a beautiful creation. That's it. But I didn't come down hard on her. I didn't come down on her at all. I just wondered, you know. And then she mentioned that again, another time. And I don't know what the intervals between it would be, you know, but she'd say these things. And you know what? I thought, you know, it's better to say just two or three words, than nothing at all.
That's right.
And finally, the Lord smote my heart, and he said, hey, big boy, you know the whole Romans Road, and you can just lay it right out for them. You can quote all the scriptures, but how often do you do it? Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I there's no time for that at the checkout counter. And then God says, well, maybe just two or three words I can use. That's part of this whole thing of my missing her. Because there's so many things in my life like that she taught me. Now, transform or conform? The conformed don't care about the eternity of other people. Regardless of what they talk, they don't do it. What's the cure for such conformity? There's only one. Repentance.
Amen.
You need to change. In whatever area we may be conformed, we need to repent of it and change and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's what we have to do. Amen?
Amen. I like it.
All right. We're going to take time now for some... Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We're going to take time for some prayer requests.